And welcome back to What Would Father Say here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew again with Father John Gozzaldo. Thanks again, Father, for joining us here. We appreciate your carving time out of your schedule.
No problem. This is the only thing I have time for, Tom.
I'd hardly doubt that.
If I wasn't here, I'd be at a Mexican restaurant eating lots of carbs.
Hey folks, last week we started in on the sixth commandment, and if you missed last week's episode, you can pick it up on our website, armorofgodradio.com. Just click on that schedule tab, and it'll take you in there to where all of these are posted. And so we kind of left off last week, Father. We were talking about chastity and the impact on human sexuality. And so I think really kind of our spot to pick up here is paragraph 2351. Again, folks, if, for those of you who are listening, we're walking through the catechism here. So catechism paragraph 2351.
Okay, so first we say that, chastity is about discipline, and I'll quote Matthew Kelly and say that discipline is what makes you happy. You cannot be happy without discipline.
Amen.
Makes us a disciple. And not being disciplined makes us miserable. We're not meant for that. We're not meant for that. So it's not about white knuckling it. It's about freedom. It's about staying between the lines when you're on the highway. You want to get where you're going and you want to enjoy the ride. If you pull off into the ditch looks fun and you find yourself real quick, I don't belong here. And then you start to be jealous of those who are flying by. Enjoying life. So, offenses against chastity. What is lust? Lust
What
is
is?
disordered enjoyment of sexual pleasure. What does that mean? Because sex is a good thing, but it's ordered towards something, ordered towards life. But lust is an end in itself. What's like? It's like food. Food is good. It's ordered towards nutrition and energy. But when food becomes an end in itself, then it becomes gluttony. It just because that's not what it's meant for. It leads to selfishness, isolation, and misery. Because sex has two things where we get them here at the end. Sexual pleasure is morally disordered when sought for itself, isolated from procreative and unitive purposes. Sex has two purposes. Remember, we said babies and bonding. Well, that's procreative and unitive. It means to bring the couple closer and that babies may flow from it. But if those of those are frustrated, you will be frustrated. You will be frustrated. And that leads to things like 2352. What's wrong with masturbation? Does the church think that masturbation is sin? Yes, she
Absolutely.
does. It's a misuse of the sexual faculty. And it turns in on itself. And some people, now there is a, we'll keep reading here because I think people should know this, that it is masturbation is objectively sinful. And there's no doubt about that. It's in gravely disordered action. It's a deliberate use of sexual faculty for whatever reason outside of marriage and is essentially contrary to its purpose. Having said that, go to the second paragraph, 2352, because there are people who are addicted to things like pornography and masturbation. To form an equitable judgment about the subject's moral responsibility and to guide moral pastoral action, one must take into account and the effect of immaturity, force of acquired habit, conditions of anxiety, and other psychological social factors that can lessen, if not even reduce to a minimum, moral culpability. So what that's saying is people who are addicted to this, as long as they're fighting it, as long as they're struggling against it, God respects that. And when they fall into it and they feel contrite, that won't send them to hell. It won't send them to hell. God wants us to resist and put up a fight. It's when we embrace it. When we embrace sin, say, this is normal, this is what I do, this is who I am, that's giving God the finger. And we can go through, we can talk a whole show. Fornication, it's outside the marital, it's a corruption, it's a scandal, it's contrary to the dignity of the persons. That means it makes them less. Moreover, it is a grave scandal when it's a corruption of the young. And I think you could, every time a kid watches TV, we used to watch Friends, they're all fornicating. When I grew up, every once in a while when I was a kid, They had soap operas on. They're all fornicating. It was celebrated. Three's Company. My goodness, soap. Every TV show was, it was not a reward of marriage. Fornication became a prerequisite of marriage. But even children know first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. You flip that up, you rearrange that, you're driving around with four flat tires. Your front end is not corrected and you're gonna struggle. Pornography 2354, it is poison. Let's just say it is poison,
Absolutely.
addictive. It's a sin of the devil. It seeks to bring you in. It is like cocaine, and people who are addicted to pornography are miserable, and we need to love them, help them. Even it's a cycle, it changes your brain. Pornography changes people's brains. It's like alcohol. They know that. They hate it. But that's still it's still out there. And I think the secular world is coming around because people in media, they're all addicted to pornography too, because they so they won't admit it. But our young people, especially our young men, become slaves to it. And
I
people
think
we
it's
had as
interesting how society has manipulated us, like we were talking about last week, and into the availability of pornography. When we were growing up, it was you had to search it out.
Oh my gosh, you had
And
in
now
the
it's on every
bookstore.
billboard and
Oh yeah.
bookstore
Can
and
you
gas
imagine?
station. Like, goodness
I mean, there
gracious.
for the grace of God go us, because
Yeah.
when we go to we went to the the record store, the bookstore, there was porn there, but it was up on the rafters behind the
Covered with
wall.
cardboard.
Yeah, and you had to climb a ladder if you wanted it. No one had the guts to do that. And if you did see porn, it's usually your friend's dad had Playboy or something. That is nothing. That is nothing compared to what kids can have access to now. The body punishing, violent pornography. And what I was going to say that, I know some of our teenagers that we had maybe 10, 15 years ago who were addicted to pornography. Now they're married. And let's just talk plainly, a lot of them can't function.
Yeah, sure.
They can't function as men because some of the boys, some of the men, now they're married to like a normal woman, and she can't compete with the fake drug infested, what they watched on TV, and she can't do that. And because a lot of men, let's go ahead, men think that marriage is a cure for lust. It is not. Now, someone may read 1 Corinthians 7 and think that Paul says that. That's not what he's saying. It's better to get married than to be on fire. What does that mean? That is not what it means. People who are, they find out real quick that, well, I have a problem with pornography, but as soon as I get married, my wife's going to cure that. No, it gets worse. It gets worse because she can't keep up with that. And then she feels used. And women who feel used by their husbands will pull away from their husbands.
And that
And what do
gets
you
away
have?
from that flies in the face of that bondage,
Oh yeah, then there's no
the
bonding.
bond rather that we were talking about earlier, the between the man and the woman.
Yeah. Like 10, 8, 10 years ago. No, 5 years ago, I had a couple, young couple that was from another town, and he was addicted to porn. Now they were living together, and the girl, the bride to be, she was complaining because he was, addicted to porn in the next room. He was open about it. And then, she would feel neglected. And I was like, you realize you're committing fornication and adultery. You're hurting her. And he knew it. And sometimes you have to be practical, avoid the near occasion of sin. Get some software. Covenant Eyes is awesome. I am
It's a good
now
recommendation.
a couple of people, men, young men here that I am their, what do you call, accountability. If they pull up porn on their website or on their phone or something on a computer, I get a notice on my phone because they put me down as a, and I'll say, hey, what's going on, buddy? He now has an account. That's why you bring it out to this. You're never in this alone. That's why AA works. An alcoholic can't be alone. He has to have a community, a sponsor. Well, if you're addicted to pornography, get an accountability partner, a community. they will help you be chaste because the devil wants you to be alone with this. Anyway,
And
I
that,
lost
well, but
my.
that, but that, that, that addiction to pornography then leads right into, I mean, not always. I'm making kind of a generalization here, but
Yeah.
it leads to homosexuality.
It can't. Oh, yeah. They a
And
lot of times, and if an of a 10 or 12 year old boy, he's struggling with his sexuality. He looks at gay porn, scrambled his brain. His brain is now scrambled, and he becomes addicted to it. And they can always tell when they're addicted to it when they start looking at it every day, and then it doesn't work for them. So they start paying for the violent stuff. And the next thing you know, they're on some kind of website where they're meeting men. They're out there meeting people, acting out. You know, there's nothing more. The media won't tackle this, but you know, you have 16, 17, 18-year-old boys suddenly meeting 50-year-old men for sex. That's going on. No one wants it. They have their apps for that now. They have
Oh,
apps
yeah.
for that now.
Well, we're trying to, I mean, it's society, the mainstream media is trying to normalize that, with this, you know, with different acronyms and different things, you know. But I think the point, and really the catechism drives this home. We often, we Catholics and the church in general get criticized, because we hate homosexuals and
Oh my gosh.
we hate, we think that are all, you know, that all the homosexuals are going to hell, and that's the church has said all they're all going to
Yeah.
hell. And I
You know
think,
who's in danger of hell is the people who affirm people in their disordered inclinations. When you say, hey, this is who you are, embrace it, you've just not put your soul in jeopardy. Because if you have a anybody who's has some kind of addiction to a sin, and you enable them, you know, what did Jesus say? You know, it's better if you scandalize one of these little ones, you tie a rope, what a millstone around your neck. So yeah, if you wanna, we got 15 minutes. Do you wanna
Yeah.
jump in the chastity and homosexuality?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because
Let's do it.
you've already touched on it,
Yeah. We
because
I think
it
it's necessary. I think because there's so many misconceptions and misperceptions about what the church actually teaches.
yeah. And so we have to make that clear. Homosexuality is not, people who have same-sex attractions are not, that's not a sin. What's a sin is to give in to these temptations and to recognize this is a disordered inclination. And if you read all the literature, that's real literature from the Ruth Institute, NARTH, the Alliance for Therapy. There's all kinds of great. They'll tell you what it is. It's, you know, these are father wounds. Now I know a little bit about male homosexuality because most of NARTH is male, not NARTH, Courage. And to the man, if someone comes to me and says, "Father, I experienced same-sex attraction. I was in a gay lifestyle." First thing I ask them, "What's your relationship like with your father? Tell me about your father." Now, sometimes you say, "Oh, my relationship with my father was great, it's fine." Then you get to know them and they're lying. "Oh, I thought you're no, he was distant. He was alcoholic. He wasn't around." "Oh, yeah." And you have a young man who has a distant father, overbearing mother that's artistic, non-athletic, and sensitive. And what happens? He turns in on himself. He's attached to his mom in an unhealthy way, and then he will start to eroticize men because he wants that healthy male touch that he never got. A healthy male touch. But let's just read what it says. Homosexuality refers to relations between men and women who experience an exclusive, predominant sexual attraction towards persons of the same sex. It's taken a great variety of forms through the century and in different cultures. Its psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. Basing itself on sacred scripture, which presents homosexual acts as acts grave depravity. So that's important. We need to emphasize that from Romans, Timothy, Corinthians 6, Genesis 19, that it is the act of homosexuality. It's a fake intercourse. People that mock the marital act. It is the death act. Sodomy is the death act. They are consecrated to natural law. They close sexual act to the gift of life. They do not proceed from the genital effector of sexual complementarity. Under no circumstances can they be approved. So, but we can say that about adultery, pornography, fornication. None, that's never approved. It's not okay because it's not the marital act. And what does it mean to love them? Well, you minister to them. You accompany them. And the church is asked to seek healing, a spiritual life, and encourage they have a community, a spiritual life, frequenting the sacraments, practicing chastity, and having chaste relations, but also maybe also approaching and healing that father wound, healing that wound that they were not, that homosexuality, no one chooses that. I agree with that. No one would choose to be gay. No, of course not. No one chooses to be a pedophile or a pornographer or an adulterer. No one chooses that.
Yeah, right.
They get sucked into it and then they get lost in it. Like and then they don't know how to get
their brains.
Their brain is scrambled. It's been real. And now we have proof of that. It's like alcohol. The what do they call those passes in your brain? Those highways in your brain. The
synapses.
Yeah, all those synapses. Anything. It's got to be rewired.
Yeah.
It's got to be. But that's an act of healing of the heart. And as priests, we're in a particular. I'm talking to priests out there. We're in a particular place to say chastity's part of the good news. That, you know, having union with another person, whether it's gay or straight, doesn't guarantee happiness. Not at all. But sacrifice and a prayer life and sacraments and a total gift to something or someone, you find life. And that chastity is part of the good news. And just any kind of cursory investigation of the gay lifestyle, quote unquote, gay lifestyle among men. There's no such thing as monogamy. They even have a name for it. It's called monogamish. That it's just. And we also have to say that lesbianism and homosexual men, you know how much they have in common? How about nothing?
Yeah.
They have nothing in common.
Absolutely.
For women, it's emotional. It's enmeshment. It's oftentimes violent. It's an unhealthy. They have an unhealthy relationship with their own mom. Oftentimes, it's also, again, a distant father. Mm-hmm. Where they saw their mother, who was very feminine, but sometimes she's in abusive relationships. So they look at their mother and they realize being feminine is not safe.
Yeah.
Being feminine is not safe because you could get hurt. And then her mom has the man coming in and out of the house,
right,
abusing her, abusing. So what happens to a lot of women who, quote unquote, become lesbian? Well, they gain weight. They crop their hair. Mm-hmm. They look less feminine. They start to talk deeper. Because why? They need to feel safe.
Yeah.
They have to be tough. And to be attractive to a man is not safe. And once they pump themselves full of testosterone, embrace the male kind of ethos, they seek a feminism. Mm-hmm. So when you meet two gay guys, you'll meet two gay guys. If you meet a lesbian couple, what you meet is a woman who has same-sex attraction and a regular woman.
Yeah, yeah.
You can always tell who the male is.
Right. I was gonna
you
say,
can always tell who the male is. Yeah.
One of them is dressed like a guy.
Yeah, one of them looks, talks, and acts, and you're like, well, are you a lesbian? Yeah, well, she looks like a guy. She talks like a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, well, I'm bisexual. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're just tired of men, and you're with her, and she's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't get pregnant, and you feel stable. Just admit it. And you twist that, and it feels like love.
Yeah.
Well, I must be in love. No.
Feelings.
Women want to feel safe. That's the first thing. That's why women are like being around like the motorcycle tough guy, the leader of the pack. Why? Because he makes her feel safe.
Protects.
He protects her.
You talked, Father, about briefly just a second ago about courage. And I think this is an opportunity. We kind of need an answer to the criticism, I think, is what the church is teaching and what the church is doing to help.
Okay,
and the world seems to focus on the homosexuals, but we do this for everybody.
well,
But
they focus on them. They see them as another race, and the Alphabet Mafia has embraced sort of the civil rights movement, a
Sure.
terminology. Hey, we are a marginalized community. No, the LGBTQ, they're not a community. They're not. That is garbage. But they're given license instead of love. Love means doing what's best for someone. You know, an alcoholic wants a bottle of Jack Daniels. He wants you to give them a bottle of Jack Daniels. That's not love. That's license. No, but to be here, no, you shouldn't drink. It's not good for you, and I'm here to help. I'm praying. I want to be sober with you. So to answer your question, Tom, let's read 2359, because that's the courage ministry right there.
Okay.
Homosexual persons are called to chastity by the virtues of self-mastery that teach them inner freedom, at times by the support of disinterested friendship. Wow, that's a powerful term right there. By prayer, sacramental grace, they can and should gradually and resolutely approach Christian perfection. So what is the remedy for homosexuality and people with same-sex attraction? Real easy. Christianity, discipleship,
True
sacraments,
Christianity, true
true
Christianity.
Christianity, self-mastery, which leads to freedom, which leads to freedom, not license. When I see a man who says, I'm gay, I said, I don't use that terminology. You're a man. I'm a man. That you have same-sex attractions. You know, I have a disordered inclination towards Whataburger. I am not a part of the Whataburger community. I am not. I remember years ago, I remember dreaming about a double meat with double cheese, you know, greasy and. But at Lent, I try to drive by that,
Yeah. Keep
but
driving by that.
those inclinations don't define me.
Right.
You are a man, and your body is made for women. That's what it's made for. Now you may never be with, and that's okay. But to be with a man in the same way, that is a twisting. That is a twisting, and I was going to share with you one of the courage men. 50, 60-year-old man, he revealed something to us once that is very telling. Told a story. You'll get this from the older guys sometimes, how they'll meet a young man to be intimate with. And before anything even happens, the 60-year-old man and this 18-year-old boy, 16, 17, will ask the older man, can I call you dad? What? They'll ask, can I call you dad? What? What is that telling us? What is that telling us? They're looking for a father. They're looking for a father. And that's what we as priests can be a father to them. We ask them to be a father. And do I know what chastity is like and struggle with it? Yes, I do. And also the married men in their life, they'll think, well, they're lucky they can get married. Well, no, that's their vocation. It's their vocation. But it doesn't mean they're suddenly free from sinful inclinations. And when a man gets married, it doesn't mean he'll never be attracted to another woman. No, he has to be disciplined.
We still have the same requirement
Yeah, the same
of chastity
requirement.
and discipline,
And you
self-mastery.
sometimes I see this most profoundly when you go visit a nursing home. Nursing homes are places of profound grace. Why? Because you have people who have chosen to love each other, even though it's not reciprocal. You see a man walk into a room with his wife. She has Alzheimer's. She doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
And he cares for her, feeds her. They're not having sex. That's ridiculous.
Right.
And she can't give the love back. She thinks, oh, Jason never tells a story about a woman who has Alzheimer's and a husband of 60 years. And she says to him, sir, I don't know who you are, but I think you're the best. What does that mean? Well, that's what real love is. That's when the vows kick in. That's when a sacrifice kicks in. To love someone, they may not be able to love you back anymore. Husband and wife go through that. Husband and wife experience celibacy when your wife is ill, away, or you're at your in-laws' house and the walls are thin, you have to go through this time of celibacy. She's pregnant. Well, that means self-mastery. That's self-mastery that makes us holy, disciplined, and also makes us more Christ-like. But cruising the red light district looking for a hookup, that's hell. That's hell. And it has the temptation of the serpent. Hey, come on, just give in. Take a bite. You'll be happy. Come
You'll
on.
be like a god.
You'll be like a god. I know God said you can't do that, but you do what you will. Come on, you know you want to do this. It's free. It'll make you happy. Come on, you have this itch. Go ahead and scratch it. Satan is so, as Nefarious said, hell rejoices when these things happen. Anyway, wow,
We're running out of time
okay.
again. So what we're gonna have to do is we'll pick up section three of the Sixth Commandment here next week, because I'm a big fan of the Book of Tobit and the
Oh, yes. Oh,
story
yeah.
of Tobias and Sarah. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. So we'll have to
All right,
pick that
brother.
up next week. Please give us a blessing, Father, as we leave.
Well, let's pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, come down upon these, your servants. Minds and hearts may be open to these 10 commandments that are meant to free us up. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father. And
All right.
everybody, we will see y'all next week right here on Armor of God Catholic Radio on What Would Father Say? God bless y'all.